Welcome to Talking Blue Opposition View. I'm Jerry, still, and this is the time where we're going to be talking to a supporter from one of the opposing teams. They have the inside poop, you know what I mean? So today we're super lucky to have, he's a play-by-play commentator, sometimes does color for the ACC Network, has done some work for ESPN3 in the past as well, is that right?
Yes.
And, he's an Arsenal supporter, and he's a friend of mine. I mean, he doesn't tell people that in public, but we are. I know him from way back. He's Ty Collins.
How are you?
Yay for Ty.
You're not a Tottenham supporter, so we could still be friends.
That's right. I'm definitely not a Spurs guy. I know a Spurs guy. Does that still disqualify me, or...?
So, no, just as long as he's not in the vicinity, we're good.
Right on. Okay, so let's go ahead and get going, because I know that you are also a disgruntled supporter.
Absolutely. Been for a while, actually.
Yeah. Right now you're sitting in sixth, for all you other people out there. They're sitting in sixth right now. How does that feel?
Well, let's see. It's a little bit disheartening. It's frustrating. I think that was the best way to put it. Best way to put any kind of Arsenal fan is being just frustrated, because so many times you feel like you should be the next level in the levels of where Manchester United, Manchester City, Chelsea, and you flirt with them, but then you'll lose. Well, you haven't won an away game in a long time. You lose to Stokes, then you lose to the Watford Elton Johns, and then, this is... it was typical Saturday for me, where I was looking forward to a nice result, and they score, and it was just kind of deflating. At the same time, I said, I look at the lineup. I didn't like the lineup. I think...
This is all familiar, isn't it, everybody?
I think Mertesacker is probably the slowest person on earth, and we have him playing in the back. His IQ is great, but he's slow.
Did he score your first goal?
Yeah, and he scored our first goal.
So put him up front. What's the deal here?
No kidding. I mean, it's just... every time I see the personnel, I scratch my head. And I used to be a big Arsene Wenger fan and supporter. I love the way his style is pretty, but now it's not pretty anymore because he hasn't adapted, and he still has yet to find a defensive center mid. We cannot find the exact one. Or in the back is terrible. It's besides Bellerin, Koscielny, maybe Monreal.
What about Kolasinac?
Koscielny.
No. The new guy. Oh, the new guy from Schalke.
Yeah, I do like him.
Stole him from us.
Because actually, he plays with grit, and I still have yet to see any kind of grittiness from this Arsenal.
Yeah, I love. I saw him play early games for y'all, and I thought this guy's going to work out for them.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why when you're playing Watford, who's got some speed, why you put in Mertesacker. I mean, are you dealing with injuries?
I don't know if it's injuries or if it's just Wenger's ego. Mm-hmm. I don't know what exactly is going on. We can never have a set back line. You have the anchors. Of course, I wouldn't take Koscielny out. But, again, I just don't understand the personnel choices that he uses and even some of the philosophies. It's outrageous. Then you bring Lacazette, then you take him out. You bring in Giroud, that doesn't happen. It just doesn't. It's just one thing after another. It's at one point when I used to be a big fan of how he approached the game, how he approached each match. It's just now it's not the same. I think he's just stubborn, and Arsenal itself, the brass is stubborn, and the supporters are suffering for it. And it's time that I think the only thing to do is actually just wash away with everything, get a new manager, and try to bring back or bring some kind of culture in there, because that culture is not there. The Arsenal culture is basically, once you get punched in the mouth, you're done for.
and there's no passion. You saw our Switzerland guy. Granit. Just picking his nose why cleverly hits the game winner. I mean, this type of stuff that you don't see.
I just want to reiterate that he said cleverly hits the game winner. For all you people out there, he just said cleverly hits the game winner. It's not a phrase that's repeated often.
So. And of course, it happened to the Gunners, right?
So, yeah.
You know, it was again frustrating.
We were talking earlier, so. A season in which you do not win the league is a disappointment every time.
Yeah, because, I mean, when you have where you are as far as the most valuable clubs are, you're in the top 10. I mean, at one point you were fifth, and I think you dropped to sixth. But you make all that money. You're a very well-known brand. Of course, they know the canon. And for them to put up crap like that every year, or the same thing, it's the same movie played over and over again. Same movie. It's either we'll buy somebody just to shut up the supporter, so the Lacazette, and then we'll just fizzle, and we might tie to a Chelsea, or we might lose 4-0 to Liverpool, and be embarrassed for the rest. You know, the supporters are just, you know, up in hands and arms. They just want some kind of change, and we've been saying this for a long time about Wenger going, but then Wenger gets another extension, and they make it seem like he's the best thing ever since sliced bread. This guy is old. He's washed up. He doesn't know how to put personnel on the field. And I applaud him for his years. Thank you. You did a great job. But it's done. You're over with. You're still using 1990s tactic. It's very similar to the U.S. national team. We're using old tactics for what's going on now. And it's a lot. It has a lot to do with politics. It has to do with. It's just it's stubbornness. It's just same thing. It won't change unless literally the supporters completely stop buying tickets. And they're starting to do that. Mm-hmm. So, but if you make that kind of money, you expect a better result than, you know, getting, no offense, but now getting your Europa. Mm-hmm. You know, and. It just hasn't shown on the field. I've noticed it. I think I was one of the first people to actually say Wenger should be out, but then people started catching on, especially my crew, my Arsenal fans.
I see Wenger out billboards everywhere. So you're telling me,
no,
your idea.
I'm this side of the river.
I just love the idea of the people in London sitting there going, you know. This wouldn't have happened if it weren't for time, you know?
I have some friends that are big Gunner fans that were mad at me when I first started saying I want Wenger gone, but yeah, I wouldn't say I was the one who started it, but yes. I'm sure that...
He's a trendsetter, folks.
That's right. We start from on the other side of the pond, and it goes over to England and knocks it out.
So you have a lot of criticism.
Mm.
We have a lot of criticism for our team as well, mainly for our manager right now. However, we also are in the habit of trying to pretend like we have the answers. So, let's pretend you are the board. You are the board, chairman, whatever you want to be at Arsenal. You can solve your problems. You can do whatever you want. To put Arsenal in what you consider to be the driver's seat in the Premier League, nay, the world.
Immediately, I get rid of Wenger. And I have to bring in somebody with a football mind, a good football mind, to go into the main office. Because someone that can actually understand personnel and not... just allow something that happened with Alexis Sanchez during the offseason,
mm-hmm.
where you have someone that's sitting there bidding on him, and then he ends up not going anywhere, and basically he's sitting there in the locker room, disgruntled, mm-hmm. and saying he wants to be there. So, I think you use what Arsenal is. Arsenal is supposed to be a big-time club, so you use the money, and you go out and you say you steal a manager like the manager at Juventus.
Someone that has been able to put a nice product on the field, bring that in. I think his style would commend Arsenal's personnel. And then you end up getting at least a defensive center back, or center midfielder. And then you get wipe out everybody in the back line except for three, I think, two. And then you have got to find some more help with as far as the striker-wise. Because right now, I mean, you have Lacazette, and then you have Welbeck, who's hurt. And then you have Drew, who's the super sub. But that's it. And it seems like everything ever since Cazola has been out, we have yet to find any kind of answer to him to distribute the ball. It's just a mess. Yeah. It's a mess. So I would immediately do that. And then immediately act like you say you're going to do every year. Spend good money. Get these good players. And bring in somebody that at least knows, brings it to the next level instead of what Wenger's doing. The culture is just completely shot over there. And they made the excuse about the stadium for so long, but come on, that's old news. We left Highbury in a long time.
I look at your attackers, but you mention Welbeck, you mention Giroud, you mention Lacazette, who all three of those in different ways can be a solo striker if need be. Okay? And then you've got so many supporting attacking parts, like Alexis Sanchez.
Yeah, and use him. And then they don't use him.
So, think about, it seems like, to me, your attack is actually all right. It's more just a mindset and firming up your defense. And I don't know if Cech is
the answer.
Who he used to be. Right. I love Peter Cech, don't get me wrong. Okay? I always thought he's, strong keeper. But I just feel like when eventually keepers age, they don't quite have the reaction time.
Yep.
Tim Hard had something in my throat. It just happens. And it stinks. And of course, he's not going to want to be a sub for you. He's not going to want to come off the bench for you. But he may serve that purpose for a little while until the next transfer window.
The one thing that they could have done, they didn't do, and it was a match in heaven. He wanted to come to England. London would fit him fine. Was getting Guardiola, Pep, great style. My favorite manager by far, just the way he does it. He's running shop with Manchester City.
Yeah,
and he gets a 3-prong attack, which I guess you would say fair to say that we do have a pretty nice as far as personnel if you use them, because you have Alexis Sanchez sitting on the bench, you have Ozil that comes in off the bench to play with 35 minutes. Ozil and Sanchez arguably were one of the best players in the Premiership last year. And Wenger still didn't know how to use them. You know what I mean? It's just the stubbornness of...
So, question, is it the fact that he's stubborn? Is he overthinking it?
I think he's stubborn. He's stubborn in his ways. This is how he wants you to play, and then look at his reaction when they score. It just says it all.
This is so familiar. You're literally saying many of the same things that we're saying about Koeman. It's we're getting a lot of that because I talked to David, I talked to Edward, and it's two of the guys that we do videos with, and they're saying all the same stuff. Edward was literally talking about, look at Koeman's reactions when we score a goal.
Really?
Yeah. He literally said that. I think it was yesterday, day before. Yeah. Crazy. It's really familiar. So, what I'm thinking, I'm assuming...
You're trading now, Andrews.
yes! So, I'm thinking...
You're the key right...
I actually think that a little change of scenery would do Wenger some good... And Koeman usually, I know with us, he firmed up the defense before he somehow managed to mess it up. So he could potentially firm up your defense, all right? So we switch managers and we take Wenger off your hands. So then you still owe us. Then you give us Giroud.
Giroud?
Yeah. You give us Giroud. We take Wenger off your hands. See how that works? Because you're more, I think you're angrier with Winger than we are with Koeman.
I'm actually more, well, I'm actually, I think I'd say a lot of my frustration goes to the top. So it's Stan Kroenke, because he wants to...
Is that actually how you pronounce his name?
Yep. He wants to... He's American, too, so he's just... He's caught in the greed amongst greed, and he wears makeup all the time, and he's a joke.
I kind of just want to call him Stan Kroenke.
He should be Kroenke. Because he's satisfied, he's satisfied with his returns. He's not going to do anything. The only thing to do is you really, like... When I was telling you, I want you to beat us. I'm sincere. I want you to beat us. Because the only way it's going to get better if we lose everything and you piss off the supporters so much where they literally don't show up to the Emirates. That's the only way that can change.
We will also take Usman off your hands if you want.
I will say, if I could say any positive thing, I do like the way that they work in the youth. I think that's very clutch.
Usually pretty consistent the way that they usually have one or two players from the youth system who come up to the first team every season. We tend to have one or two every season, too. I think that's a pretty common thing with at least your team and ours.
But what I've also said, I'm going to get back to, like, how many times... Have you heard where there's a highlighted player, a top tier player that wants to maybe leave the transfer window that refuses to come to Arsenal? You know what I mean? This is not at all. I have no interest in going to Arsenal. But would you ever hear that in Manchester United? Would you ever hear that?
I'm being totally honest here to everybody. Do people say that to Arsenal?
Yeah, sure.
We get that crap all the time, and it's the worst. We finally got our injection of cash, and we're like, hey, let's throw a £60 million bid down for the, oh gosh, what's his name? The gigantic center back at Napoli. And everybody's like, oh my gosh, this guy's amazing. And him and his agent were like, meh.
Really?
That happened like several times. It was the worst. It's like, yeah, we got money, and no one will take it. This sucks. Yeah,
I got some notes here that I was going to look at. Is that okay? I didn't want
to. You're okay? Cheating?
No, I just had some notes that I wrote down.
The cheating. That's our new horror movie for October. The cheating.
I actually wanted to go back and look at the depth chart that we used against Watford. Because when I was watching it at home, I thought maybe, you know, there were people hurt or they wanted to save some of their players for the Europa. I don't know, but I mean, I'm glad we used Iwobi. I'm glad we used... I think Giroud should have played more, but there's... Granit Xhaka has been terrible. And I think Bellerin is awesome, but I think he needs to be playing in the back of the back left or back right. Mm-hmm. And Elneny's been trash. You know, these are just... And holding for 5 minutes. I mean, and that was when they were going to bring in, Jack Wilshere, and then all of a sudden Shelny gets fouled or whatever, and they pull him out, bring in Holding, which Holding shouldn't even be on the roster, in my opinion, but that's all right. You can have him.
I've seen him have a good game or two.
Good game or two.
I don't think it was this year.
Me either. Yeah, Calvin, like, Chambers, that is coming back. And I wasn't really a big fan of that signing, but I like Mustafi's signing, but he's hurt. It seems like Arsenal gets into this, to the neighborhood of being almost cursed, where you either get close to getting a complete squad together and then either someone gets hurt or someone's pissed off at where their contract is or they want to transfer out.
Yeah.
And or you have someone like Ozil, who's probably by far one of my favorite players to watch, performance-wise, but then all of a sudden he'll sell it in and say, I don't want to play today.
Mm.
And that's more frustrating than anything, because you get somebody with that tremendous skill set and then doesn't want to play for the name on the chest, you know? Mm. And that drives me nuts. So.
Yeah. No, I get it. I mean, it's pretty frustrating when you're kind of like, you know, you don't want to be here? Bye. I still don't understand the whole idea of wanting to cling to players that don't want to be there.
Right.
You know? They may be quality. I mean, very tough call with us and Lukaku, because honestly, The only time he seemed like he really wanted to be here was the first year when we loaned him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even when we bought him, it didn't really seem like he necessarily wanted to be here. You know? So it was tough because, let's be honest, he's knocked in goals for fun.
Yeah.
You know, he could do it all his own. He's huge. He's a physical presence. But every time he went off on international duty.
Yeah.
We were joking the other day, must be something in the Belgian air.
Nah, you know? That Belgian air.
Loosens the lips. But, so yeah, stuff like that, it's frustrating, but it's a tough call because they're players who could help your team. So if you can figure out how to man-manage them and keep them okay for a little while, keep them, you know, where they need to be.
Right.
But the professional footballers shouldn't need to do that.
That's true. That's very true.
That's
and you're talking like a coach.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, we both coach the game, so we understand that you shouldn't lack any kind of effort, work hard, you shouldn't, and that passion should be always there when you're playing a game, because that's the type of, you have to be a competitor to get on the pitch and play it. So when you don't see that from your players, especially the teams that you support, it drives you to extreme. I rock a mic like a vandal. But.
Oh, we may need to move on to another subject before he chooses to wax it. What is it? Yeah. Light up a stage and wax a chump like a candle?
Is it?
Dance.
Like a poisonous mushroom. Are we bringing vanilla ice to this?
Did you know that?
So we'll go into Everton. What is you guys trying to find out a solution for Lukaku being gone? I know he kind of didn't want to be there anyway, but what exactly is the problem with Everton? Besides the manager doesn't seem to have the will to be there as well.
So, what the manager would probably say right out off the bat, he'd say two things. He would say, number one, we had an agreement with Giroud, which got broken at the last minute, and we couldn't get another target man in.
Mm.
Okay?
Okay.
Supposedly, that was going to happen, and you never know if this is true or not, but the rumor is Giroud's wife didn't necessarily want the move to happen, and so it didn't. Okay?
Well, I apologize.
No.
I just thought that Wenger and the French connection would make it the reason why he...
Well, who knows? Maybe that's right.
No.
We're talking like random rumors and meh, you know, whispers on the wind.
You know the rumors are. Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit different than here on the other side of the pond with rumors with the NFL free agency. There's a little bit truth to this. When I started really getting into the transfer window, I would get too excited with a mirror or whatever, and you'd pop up and you'd think, you could Google anything, you have it linked, you have Everton linked with Messi somewhere.
There are sites dedicated to fake transfer rumors.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, really, I would see people retweeting and quoting fake transfer rumor sites, and I'm like, you know, we're not making a bid for, you know...
Although.
For Alexis Sanchez, that's not happening right now. For Neymar, there was one for Neymar. It's ridiculous. But this is the thing. It's the culture. It's the clicks. They want our clicks because that's how they sell advertising.
Right.
And so you just have to learn to separate the wheat from the chaff. Essentially,
true.
You know, you become more experienced. You realize that's a crap link. Okay, I've seen that in several places. And you start learning who your journalists are that you can rely on.
Right.
There's certain ones where you're just like, okay, Joyce from the Times said that.
Joyce.
I know it's legit.
So
it's his last name.
Okay.
It's not a lady named Joyce.
I don't get the news from Joyce. It's not legit.
So the other thing that Koeman is blaming is the fact that we had an early Europa League schedule and that he didn't get to institute enough practice and training to actually... So, yeah.
So that's where it starts with excuses, correct?
And that's what I'm saying. It's... I don't know, man. It's frustrating because the biggest problem we see as supporters is selection. Team selection, he puts usually a very slow lineup together. And he'll have one pace player that's beyond, like, the back four. And he likes to play two defensive mids.
And what's the formation?
Typically, it's four... Let's see here. Four... 4-3... It's kind of a 4-3-2-1, essentially. So yeah, it's something like that. If you consider the offensive center mid to be
right.
Part of the attacking mid, along part of the three with the other two. So, Anyway.
Anyhow.
But yeah, and a lot of times he starts Rooney as a lone striker, and Rooney's not a lone striker anymore.
No.
He doesn't have the pace.
But his good news is I get to actually do like Rooney. I just hated, I could not pull for him in Manchester United. So, with him being in the blue, I can actually pull for him.
Here's the thing. Serious question.
Because I love his style of play.
Yeah.
I've always loved his style.
I like Rooney. Everything's cool. Serious question, though. You may not have ever had to deal with this. But a lot of times, as an Everton supporter, I'll randomly meet an Arsenal supporter, or a Spurs supporter, or a United supporter. And I'll tell them, like, yeah, I'm an Everton supporter. And they go, oh, you know, I like Everton okay.
Oh, so they're like, you guys are like the stepbrother?
You know, it's like, aw.
Aw, he's cute.
Look how hard they try. Aww. You know what I mean? It's one of those things, like, I can't tell. Like, it's cool that people don't hate us, but is it? You know what I mean?
Everton got a lot of support from the Americans because of Tim.
Yeah.
So, and then Landon. So,
I
knew a bunch of... I knew a bunch of Americans that were Everton supporters because of it. Mm-hmm. And I think there still are. Maybe you're... When did you jump on the Everton?
Just at the end of Moyes. In the middle of Moyes' last year. So, Tim was there. It wasn't really the main reason.
So you didn't follow EPL at all until...
No.
Really?
Because I couldn't watch any of the games. There were no Everton games on. The only games I could catch were the occasional Man U game.
Blech.
Or Chelsea.
Blech.
And I'm not the guy who pulls for the bandwagon teams. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just not my thing.
So would you say I was a bandwagoner if I jumped on the Arsenal then? Well, I jumped on it in 1993. My favorite player is Ian Wright.
That's awesome you had to watch from that early, though.
Well, that's true. But I think that... I mean, in a lot of that was product placement because you saw... him in this Arsenal the freaking cannon.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was, oh my god, what team is this? Where do I find this? But JVC was our sponsor.
Yeah.
And I think it was maybe a World Cup promo, and he was doing like a scissor gig or something. Wow. And I was like, I'm gonna be fans of that team.
See, I just couldn't cheer for a red team.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. Anybody who tells me they're a City fan, I judge them immediately.
What about a Barcelona fan?
See, and I don't even mind Barca just because of Messi. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's easy to bandwagon Messi, but you watch him play, he's not flopping all over the field trying to draw, you know, fouls. He's not trying to, you know, he doesn't cheat in the game, only for, you know, on like other stuff. Anyway. tax joke.
I completely forgot about that.
That's the thing. Like,
how many footballers have done that?
It's hundreds. But I have no problem showing my son Messi and saying that's how you play. You know, he's unselfish, two-footed.
But I heard he's a jerk in like in person.
I haven't met him, at least not in months.
I love how he's played. I just heard he's.
He and I, we used to go to the same shag club.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's...
Thirsties, right?
Yes, that's... Thirsties, too. So, no one gets these jokes. I don't know. I'm okay with Barca, because you know what? They're not even the best team in the world right now. So you're not even totally bandwagoning them right now. I think if you're Real Madrid, you're more of a bandwagon fan now. You know what I mean?
That's true. Anytime you see the Spanish league, there's just three teams, and that's it. It's just... To me, it's boring to watch.
Sometimes Sevilla.
Sometimes.
Looks.
Sevilla.
Not yesterday, but
right.
In the past, they've been good. We played it.
It's not the same as the EPL. It's not the same as the EPL, even though the EPL gets a little top heavy sometimes. But it's still any day, any Sunday, any Saturday, whatever.
Yeah.
Any team can win.
It's true.
So I think that is a lot of kudos to what the EPL has turned into, because it's. And the popularity of this over here, it grows every year. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, NBC, you turn on NBC at Saturday at, what, 12 o'clock, and you got, you know, freaking Manchester City.
See, that's the thing, is the smartest thing they ever did was start putting every game on television.
Right.
Everyone.
Or the app, right?
Yeah, or something. Yeah, that's the thing. And so when I first realized that I was going to be able to see so many games when Fox Sports first had them, and then NBC Sports took over and they just did a great job with it.
Yeah, they took it to the next level.
You know, it makes it real. It allows you to be a supporter. That's the problem with a lot of a lot of leagues. I can't really. It's hard for me to be a legit supporter because the games aren't on our TV.
Right.
I couldn't legitimately pick a Premier League team back in the day because I couldn't have seen them.
Unless you got to see the rewind they used to do.
And I would literally have to pull for one of the big teams, you know. And it's just now the cool thing is, you know, the Everton was creeping into the big teams. Money wise, they are, but record wise, I can't.
Or would you say Everton as far as a tier? I mean, I always think that Everton's right there. They could always flirt.
Before this season started, yeah. I would have said top seven. There is a top seven now. And just after the season started, I would have still said top seven.
And if they did finish top seven, you would be satisfied?
As long as we somehow crept into Europa League.
Okay.
Okay.
So your Europa is...
right now?
The trophy for you. Well, for us is getting fourth.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's a little bit defeatist. Okay, but it's also working your way up.
Right.
You know, to immediately expect Champions League and say that is definitely going to happen. I mean, it's what I want.
Right.
But am I straight up disappointed if we don't get it and we creep into seven? Well, right now, the way we started, can I expect Champions League? Hell no. You know, I can't. I can't expect that. At the beginning of the season, that's what I wanted. You know, I thought we had a legit shot after our season last year.
Really?
Yeah. Like a legitimate shot.
Even without Lukaku.
Yeah.
Nice.
I felt like it. Not getting in that target man hurt. And not us not having a solution to that hurt. And feeling like Koeman is sort of giving up.
Where did Koeman come from?
Southampton. Where he always had a better second half of the year than the first half.
Yeah, Southampton.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, I think he has the potential to mend this. It's just not happened yet. So,
Who owns it? Who owns Everton? And why are they actually being aggressive in getting players?
Everton,
or are they just sitting back?
Everton now has a majority shareholder, Farhad Moshiri, who is his main. No, it's not oil. But his business partner, his main business partner, you may have heard him, Alisher Usmanov, part owner of Arsenal.
Really.
Yeah.
You don't say.
They're like buddies. And so Usmanov's company, USM, now sponsors Finch Farm as our... So Usmanov, his company, sponsors our training complex. Dude, it's layered.
But he's going to... Yeah, and then Kroenke wants to buy the rest of that anyways.
Yeah.
So he can put the Rams in London.
So it's hard to say exactly what all is going to go down with that. But Usmanov came in, said, look, it's monopoly money. We're going to buy stuff. Okay?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So, and yeah, we bought some players. Right? But then we sold Lukaku, which was such a big piece. And we didn't really replace him. We got some other pieces that would have gone really well beside him.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. If we kept him and we had all these other pieces to play alongside him, dude. But we don't have someone who can just slot in and consistently get a goal one out of two games. The way Lukaku usually does.
Right.
Haven't really placed the goals at all. It's a really ugly, slow, boring style of football right now. Yeah. So anyway, secretly hoping. I mean, Koeman is changing formation, but usually only at halftime. After we're
down.
Yeah. Anyway, it's been a frustrating year, frustrating season so far. But I think you're understanding where
right
I'm
there
coming
with
from.
The guys.
Yeah. So because
especially, I mean, like. Where Arsenal was before the international break, it was like, okay, here's a time to get our ducks in order, come back, you look at the schedule, no offense to you, but I mean, you know, it's winnable, you can get on a run, they're always, Arsenal's the way of getting on their streakiness,
mm-hmm.
and then you had a chance to do it, and then right out of the gate, you lose to Watford 2-1.
Yeah.
And cleverly gets the game winner. I mean, this is the type of stuff that's just like, you just hear, and that's the deflation of all the Arsenal fans. Because there's a chance for it. And how, as a manager, do you not get your squad up for that? Saying, okay, guys, this is a chance to, like, wash everything away. we get back on this after international duty, and we go out, we knock these boys down like we're supposed to play because we're doing it the Arsenal way.
Mm-hmm.
Earn that jersey, blah, blah, blah. Go out there and da-da-da, win for the Gipper. No, we get... Yay! I mean, it's just, it's so frustrating.
Yeah.
I think there's a problem with when you have somebody that's got like an ego like Wenger. And sometimes with these coaches, that once they get something in their head that they were very successful with, they won't change.
Right.
And they'll continue to use it. I mean, I've heard even coaches over here that have the same problem. It's like, yeah, well, what's the problem with him? He used to be such a great coach. You know why? He hasn't adapted.
Yeah.
And if you don't adapt, you die.
Yeah, that's what happened to Martinez with us, too.
Yeah.
Didn't change style, didn't change
very much of anything. Wasn't he a little name that was popped up in the chance to take over the national team?
No, Martinez is Belgium's coach now.
Oh, is he? Okay, well, I thought maybe he was the name.
Which is hilarious, since he and Morales didn't get together well. Anyway, that's a long story. So, if you don't replace Wenger, what's your finish at the end of the season?
I think we sit outside of the. I think we'll probably be the fifth, sixth. Where we sit now.
And if you do replace him,
it's hard to tell because again, you might have to let it burn before it actually gets back to being better again. So even if they did get rid of Wenger, they could bring in somebody and they could actually fall even farther. But it's a lot of that is having to do with, you know, making a move to change the culture, because you got so many of the stuff, people that are there that are used to the Wenger way of doing things, that it'll kind of hold over. And, you know, you can't really judge a coach or a manager that like that. I mean, it's very seldom you'll see a manager come in there.
Oh, yeah. So I'm not saying you'd be judging this manager. I'm just saying, let's say you bring in a high-profile manager who takes over Holidays.
Okay.
What do you think you finish?
I guess I'd have to look at it as who it is. Because if it's somebody like...
Are you not going to commit here, TC?
If it's someone that's got passion, if it's got someone that's like... If someone that I can really, really trust that could actually turn things around or put a lightning underneath this team, then maybe I would say in the top four. But the way things are going, I would just say, to be safe, and I was a betting man, I would just say still in that sixth, seventh category.
So
even if they did change, I think they would still. It's just still the Wenger stink is still on it.
So you've heard it here first. Ty Collins recommends Sam Allardyce for the new Arsenal position.
Wait, even
it's exactly
even,
what he's asking
even
for.
Even his name is up there for the
of course
U.S. soccer thing.
Yeah,
of course
it would be.
It is. Have you not noticed?
No, I actually didn't know that was actually
that's the truth.
I don't even know what to make of that. But you know what? He can give us some defense. That's what U.S. One of the main things U.S. lacks is consistent center backs.
These names that keep in rotation over in England, like Allardyce, it's the same thing over and over again.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
It's very similar to like the NFL style where you bring somebody that once won a Super Bowl in 2002 and still name comes up every time.
Oh, I know. Just waiting for Moyes to be brought up.
Yeah.
You know that'll happen too.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of the high profile people that are not out there.
Gotta give it one more try.
Yeah.
Kick the tires on Moyes one more time. Did you think he was going to fail like he did in Manchester United?
No.
You thought he was going to succeed?
Yes, and I actually thought he was going to do better at Sunderland until he said, we're in a relegation battle before the season really even started.
Oh my goodness, I didn't realize he was for that.
Yeah, and then I was like, why would you do that? So, we were talking about the other day. I think Moyes needs to get like a mid-level championship team, somewhere where there's not a ton of pressure, gradually instill what he feels is necessary, work your way up.
Like Norwich?
He needs no pressure. Norwich, something
Newcastle?
Like that. No, Newcastle's... Right now, they're doing a lot better than we are
in
Premier League, so... Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to look at the table. Edward mentioned Leeds.
Yeah, Leeds does need a little help.
May not be a bad
I have a friend as a Leeds supporter, and actually enjoyed watching Leeds because of Tony Yeboah back in the mid-90s. Those are the days. I think it was my two teams at the time were Arsenal and Leeds, but then Leeds, of course, fell and fell and fell. But, yeah, they need a spark, and it seems like my friend who's a Leeds supporter is always, we won, and then we lost. Won, then lost. Then we'll never get it right. So
every time you say Leeds, I think about Big Lebowski, where the cop, the dude goes, "You have any, you have any promising leads?" Leads? Yeah.
Leads.
Let me talk to my boys out at the precinct. We got them working in shifts. Leads.
Leads.
Oh, it's so good. So, getting back to our match. Because we're totally veering away, because that's what we do.
Right.
What do you think is going to happen on Sunday? What do you think Wenger's going to go with as far as his team? And who do you think your impact players are going to be?
Goodness. The way I've been so salty with them lately, I don't know, it's tough to say who would be their...
Oh, you haven't been salty, Ty.
I think that, I'm pulling for you guys to win.
This is the weirdest episode.
I don't even want us to win. If anything, I'd say Lacazette comes through, gets a goal, and then maybe Giroud again, the super sub, pops in and drops one in, and we survive 2-1 because you guys put a shot in that's like from the midway line and it goes over perfect. I mean, that's a Czech's head, so I don't know. Or it's a PK because he can't stop. Czech can't stop a PK to save a life, so it's the helmet.
I'm gonna call a 0-0. Draw.
Oh, it's
just because it's. I mean, if this were college American football game, it'd be the mediocrity bowl. So I'm just expecting a lot of just a turd fest. You know? I mean, yeah. So that's what just two teams that are out of sync. That's what I'm expecting. I think one of our teams might put it together playing against the other one. Get confidence.
You'll find a way to get a goal on us because our back line's terrible. Like, it is terrible.
Yeah, we put so many shots on goal, Ty.
You'll find a way to do it against us.
Impact players, you mentioned Lacazette, maybe Giroud.
I mean, if Sanchez gets in the game, I don't know if Sanchez is going to get in the game. I think Sanchez is the most exciting player to watch, just like Ozil. One of these great players to watch, but I don't know if he's going to play or not. I don't know if he's pissed off Wenger or... I don't know. Are they just waiting to sell him to Manchester United? Since Manchester United's going to swoop up and take Ozil and Sanchez and run away with the league and then really piss me off. Or Tottenham, maybe.
Nah. It won't take him. And Spurs has a tendency to, you know, really want players who legitimately want to play for their shirt and they don't pay them really a high dollar.
It's a different Tottenham, though. It's a different feel.
It's a different Spurs... right now. You know, they play for the shirt. The people that are there play for the shirt.
The chicken on a basketball.
Yeah, and so it's really interesting watching them. What did you say?
Chicken on a basketball.
That's true.
Well, I mean, it's like you see all these teams, you're like, why would you pick that? It's a chicken on a basketball.
Well, it's a, you know.
Everton's got a great name to it. You know, it's like, I had to root for Everton. That Tottenham sounds like something you get for a dessert. I don't know. But it does have a logo of a chicken on a basketball.
Yeah, that's... You're right. How did we get to this point?
You're rambling again, Ken.
So we talked to impact players. We talked about your prediction for what will happen. with the season. I'm trying to think of what else we need to nail down. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like we covered pretty much all of it.
I'd like to see Cazorla get back. Yeah. I think it would change a lot of things in the midfield. If you put him and Ozil together, that those are two guys that are very good distributors and can see the field very well. And I think that if you look back when he got injured, they just haven't been the same since he's left. He's like 5'3". You can put him in your pocket.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Ty. are we thinking height right now?
We see eye to eye.
So I will say, Cazorla, with your, you know, he was one of the ones that didn't necessarily look normal in your spandex jerseys, spandex shirts.
Right.
You know, he's got the little pooch, yeah, you know. Good. I think Mertesacker always looked a little strange in those.
You know, the dive equipment.
I think I've heard them called nipple shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's.
I haven't got one of those, but.
Well. Are you a fan?
I do like the Puma, so I'm glad that they got Puma.
Yeah, but are you a fan of the nip look?
No, not necessarily, but if it somehow, some way allows us to get some kind of advantage, by all means, do it.
If you heard that. Who's your favorite Arsenal player?
Actually, it's Theo. But,
okay.
You know, I understand he's kind of just getting old, and I'd like to see him get in the game some more, because I think his pace is ridiculous. I think he's a lot better than what, you know, well, in his prime, he's a lot better. But, Theo and, the sad thing is I do like a lot of Arsenal players. I like Theo, I like Ozil, and I like Ant Sanchez.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, you call him Ant Sanchez?
Ant Sanchez. No, I said Ant Sanchez. I'm sorry. Ozil!
Ant Sanchez and Uncle Ozil.
That Sanchez gives hate player good, ain't he?
So,
do you know he has his golden retrievers tattooed on his cleats?
Like
they have his names, their names.
Oh, like stenciled?
Yeah.
Oh. No, I didn't. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I think you just made me forget the last of my math skills by wedging that information
that he has to go
in my brain. It's like all the great. Now I can't even calculate tip. So let's pretend you hear that Walcott, in order to make sure that he doesn't show nips in his jersey, he wears the band-aids across. Would that change your opinion of him?
No. Is that between two ferns?
I think I just brought the weirdest question of the year.
So yes. if you wore band-aids, would you change your answer?
I would think more of him, because then he's very conscientious of his appearance.
Maybe that is the problem with them. Maybe that's the reason why they're not showing much motion. They're always nipping, and it's the friction.
Again, you heard it, all
right?
The
you
problem,
guys still buy Umbro, right? Or do you guys know?
Yeah, we're Umbro. Yeah. We don't have as much nip rub.
No nip rub on
not
the Umbro?
Not as much, no.
I'm surprised that the Puma went to that tight thing. You think it's something that Nike would always get to?
Yeah. Not, I like the Puma brand, but when they started going with that tight stuff, I'm just imagining myself wearing that jersey, and because I'm like two-dimensional,
they're
like, wow, how much dumber could I look in a shirt? You know
transitions to Puma boots, and the light, they're light, they feel good, except sometimes they're narrow a little bit. I'm still, I wouldn't say they're my favorite, but I transition to them, and they're okay. I'd say B, but they're not as comfortable as my Nikes that I had. I feel like they're, as far as the weight and the thickness of the which has made it better. But other than that, I mean, I'm actually pretty satisfied with how Puma is.
I never worn a pair of Puma boots.
You never wore the
none of them. No Puma Kings. No nothing.
The heavy little Puma Kings.
Yeah. I never worn. I wear a lot of.
Back in our day, they were very heavy, weren't they?
I'm a fan of Puma, just wearing them like chill shoes, kick it shoes. Yeah, I wear those all the time.
Oh, you got Diodoras on.
These are Diodora now. Nice. Yeah, that happens.
I forgot they still made those.
Me too. That's why I looked for them.
Those the Baggios?
I wish. I had a pair of Van Bastens when I played over at Reynolds.
Van Bastens?
Yeah.
Really?
Love those.
Yeah. I had Valve Sports.
I don't think I've ever had
Yeah, those. And they lasted for a little bit in there. I don't think they're even in existence anymore. But the V was, it was like, I thought they were awesome because that was just the V.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. They were like, what is that? I was like, hey, you wish you'd have.
That's what I felt like when I had my Kelmys. I had a pair of like those orange Kelmys with it.
Yeah.
People were like, what's that? I don't know. That's the last pair I bought before you gave me that pair of Nikes.
Oh, that's right.
That's how long ago this was. This is over a decade ago when I bought those Kelmys.
Poor guy to give you my cleats just to get you playing and then you're hurt again.
Yeah. Well, who knows? Maybe I'll play in the spring. We'll see. All right, we got to wrap this up.
Don't tell your wife that.
Really? All right, we got to wrap this up because I'm about to run out of card space. right. So, any parting words on Arsenal-Everton Sunday? Anything at all?
I like what you said. I think your, I guess your future thought of how things are going to be could be. I can see that happening. I would like to think that Arsenal will come out with some kind of passion, but you know, just the way that they've been, I could so see it being 0-0 and just both of us being miserable.
Mm.
You know, just have no idea what the future of the clubs are going to be.
Kind of the way.
Yeah. And more frustration. So, and meanwhile, we'll have to hear Manchester United and cheering and
yeah.
The best team on the planet. Yeah. At least we can agree on that then.
Yeah.
Red Devils.
That was the number one team when I set out trying to figure out who found it. I was like, I can't do that. No. I can't. I mean, that's like deciding, I'm going to pull for a baseball team, and it's going to be the Yankees because it's the only logo I ever see.
right.
You know what I mean? It's just, you know.
Yeah, they're right up there with the Yankees and the Cowboys for me.
Cowboys, that's another one.
I mean, they're right there.
Yeah, can't do it.
Obnoxious?
Yeah.
Yep. Gross.
But you're
that nice being an Everton fan.
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't mind the Carolina Panthers. I don't mind Wake Forest. I don't mind Everton. Yeah.
But I do always respect someone that doesn't jump on those, the Manchester United or the Manchester City.
Yeah.
Chelsea for sure. It's like,
yeah.
I was like, well, always with Chelsea fan, I was like, all right, when do you become Chelsea fan? There's only a few that say mid-90s or something.
I haven't heard any
yeah.
like that, actually.
But no, they're like, oh, I've been watching them since Balak.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Since Drogba.
GTFO. Right.
Right. So, we got to wrap this up.
All right. Good having you here on my channel here.
Thanks so much, Ty. You can see Ty on Ty Collins. Let's say his full name. You can see Ty Collins on the ACC Network and every once in a while on ESPN3.
Well, they both work hand in hand.
It's kind of like a joint venture. Like, if you go to ESPN3, you see the ACC Network on the side.
But speaking of good footy, Wake Forest and the ones that, of course, that's who I commentate for. They are a good footy team. So
yeah, a lot of you, I know we have a lot of listeners and viewers from other countries. So I don't know if you know what Wake Forest University is, but they have a really good, not American football team. The American football team is pretty good too, but their football team is really solid.
We're joining the nation.
Yeah, they're really, really good. I take my kids to go see them all the time, and Ty does a lot of their games.
Yes.
Nationally.
Yes.
So
they've got a good attack. They're fun to watch and. Yeah, I mean, this is crazy. I would say I'd much rather watch them play than Arsenal game.
Well, they're fun to watch. Second half team. They're totally a second half team.
Yeah, that's when they put the most shots on goal. So, in the second half. But they're an international flavor, too. It's not all Americans.
Yeah. So, anyway, you can see Ty there, all right? But you can also, he has a podcast that he does with some of his fellow sports nerds.
Yeah,
they're journalists. They're like pretty daggone knowledgeable.
It's a broad brush, but usually when I get my rants, it's usually about Arsenal or teams that I'm a big fan of that I try to keep neutral. But when I got blood in my mouth, I'm going off. So I've had a couple of Arsenal rants.
I think we all need a rant here or there, you know?
It's good for the soul.
It is.
Yeah.
So, the name of the podcast?
Fan Interference.
Yeah, Fan Interference. At Fan Interference on Twitter, and you can find their podcast on Stitcher.
And TuneIn.
And TuneIn.
And iTunes.
And iTunes.
And
and on the corner. You can find their podcast on the corner.
Depends on what time of day it is.
So
it's fun.
Yeah.
Maybe you can come on and talk Everton away.
I would totally do that.
Yeah.
I don't know if your audience wants to hear it, but I would do it anytime.
We did have I did have an epic rant on the U.S. soccer team's failure. So
I haven't even tapped into that yet.
Oh,
my wounds are still fresh.
I had some bullet points,
and I don't really have the answers yet.
Yeah, not either.
Yeah,
but a lot of it goes hand in hand with Arsenal.
Believe that. I do believe
a lot
that.
Of the attitude.
So I guess that is all. Make sure you check out Tyler's stuff. If you are watching us on YouTube, please subscribe. All right, like, leave us comments. If you are listening to this via podcast, please subscribe to our podcast. All right, and rate it if you have the ability. Thank you very much for checking this out on Toffee Blue Opposition View. I guess we'll see you next time, everybody.